Happy Easter. Welcome to everybody joining us today at all of our churches, everybody online, our military all around the world that are joining in. So glad that you're with us. And all of you in Chula Vista over in the West Auditorium, out on the patio, everybody here in East. So glad that you are with us. Now, I want to let you know right up front, we are not gathered here today celebrating the fact that winter is over and spring is finally here. We live in San Diego. We don't have winter here, okay? We're not gathered here because it's finally baseball season again. All right, one person enjoys baseball. Awesome. We're not even gathered here on this day celebrating the fact that this is the one day out of the year that all men can confidently wear pastel colors. As amazing and awesome as all three of those things are, that's not what we're celebrating today. We're gathered here today on Easter celebrating the literal and physical resurrection of Jesus Christ. And what I want to share with you today is why that is really, really good news and how that can make a difference in your life and how the cross of Christ and the resurrection of Christ are the greatest expression of love that the world has ever known. That's what we're going to talk about. Well, beginning today and for the next 3 weeks, we've titled this sermon series Seismic. And we all understand that term usually relates to earthquakes, but there's another definition for seismic that we're going to use during this series, and that is this: an event of enormous proportions that has lasting effects. That's another way you can use the word seismic. And if you think about seismic in that term, an event of enormous proportion that has lasting effect, the truth is we've all experienced kind of seismic events and moments in our lives. Things that have after that happened to us, or we did it, it changed us forever. And some of those are deeply personal. They could be positive or negative experience that had lingering effects after. But sometimes seismic events are really experienced in community, like an entire city experiences something together that changes them. Sometimes an entire culture, even a nation or the world. And as I was thinking back, every generation has these memories and moments where you can talk to someone and say, man, I remember where I was when. Every generation has those. So I was thinking, what are some of those, you know, in my generation? One of those that I remember, a seismic moment, was in 1986. I was in a sixth grade classroom and we were watching the Space Shuttle Challenger live when shortly after takeoff, it exploded. That was one of those things that it changed us as a nation and it changed our space program. Maybe you remember in 1989 when the Berlin Wall finally came crashing down. That was this seismic moment felt around the world that symbolized the end of the Cold War and that communism, as it was falling apart and no longer. Another one that I think we all remember where we were when we first heard or saw a plane hit those towers, 2001. I think all of you can think back. I remember where I was and that in the office, we turned the TV on and just like that was a moment that changed us as a nation. Everything was forever different for us after that. And then I want to share one more. I think back to 1997. This is a deeply personal seismic moment in my life where I moved from Illinois to San Diego, and shortly after moving to San Diego in 1997, a friend took me to a place I'd never been before, Lolita's, and I had one of these. For the first time in my life, I ate a carne asada burrito. I was forever changed. The earth shook, right? Like we all have these moments in our life where we look back and go, wow, everything was different. You didn't see that one coming, did you? Everything was different after that. And so what we're going to do today, and beginning for the next 3 weeks, we're going to look at some seismic events in the life of Jesus Christ. Some things that he did, some things that he said that forever changed the world. And the most significant, the greatest seismic event in all of history is the resurrection of Christ. That's what we're going to start with. We're going to look at that seismic event today. Now, whenever a seismic event happens, we react to it. That's the nature of a seismic event. It kind of demands a response. And the cross and the resurrection of Jesus have always caused a reaction. Whether you believe in the resurrection of Jesus or not, you have to agree that the claim of the resurrection, I mean, it has changed the world. And everybody has different reactions to the resurrection of Christ. In fact, Scripture says that in those first days after the resurrection, that Jesus appeared numerous times to many people, sometimes in groups as large as 500, that the resurrected Christ was present with people. And so what I want to do today is I just want to look at five different people or a couple of them are groups of people that the resurrected Christ showed himself to and that people had a reaction towards. And what I want to ask you to do is maybe as we go through these different reactions that people had to a resurrected Christ, see if you can maybe find yourself in the way that maybe you would view Easter or the idea of the resurrection of Jesus. And my guess is we could all find ourselves in at least one of them, probably in a few of them. So if you're taking notes, grab that paper out of the program you received when you walked in or open your Eastlake Church app and get ready to fill this in. Let's look at some different reactions to the resurrection. Here's the first group I want to focus in on, the Roman soldiers. They were scared. Write that down. The Roman soldiers were scared when the resurrection happened. Matthew's gospel, I gave you the reference in Matthew 27, he tells that after Jesus was buried and put in the tomb and a big stone was put in front of the tomb to seal it shut, that the Jewish leaders went to Pilate, the Roman official that ruled Jerusalem in that area, and they said, hey, this Jesus that we finally just got rid of, he made these crazy claims that 3 days after his death, he would rise again. So could we have some Roman soldiers placed at his tomb so that his followers can't come steal the body and try to make up some crazy stories that he's alive? And so, in fact, Pilate said yes, and a group of Roman soldiers were put on watch outside of Jesus' tomb to make sure that his followers could not steal his body and make up some crazy story. And so day and night, these soldiers were there. Well, on the third day, when the resurrection happened, you got to turn to chapter 28 for that in your Bible. And what it says is that all of a sudden there was an earthquake. That was the first thing that happened at the resurrection. This seismic moment happened. And then at the exact same time, the stone was moved away from the entrance. And then this angel from heaven showed up. And it says that the angel, the appearance was like that, like their skin and face glowed and the clothes were like light. So if you're trying to imagine what that would look like, think Michael Jackson sequence jacket and that starry glove, right? You're just like, wow, a lot going on there. And so the angel shows up and it says that this caused can you imagine being there? Earthquake, tomb opens, angel shows up, and you know what the Roman soldiers did? They passed out. That's what they did. They were so scared, so gripped with fear that they literally, they just passed out from fear. And maybe this would characterize your reaction to Jesus' claim a little bit. That the idea of Jesus being God and coming back to life, like maybe that whole idea is just kind of too scary for you to even like intellectually wrestle with. And so what you've done is just kind of passed out to the whole idea. Like maybe you've just gone your entire life, like I'm not even going to consider that. Or maybe you're here and because of a religious background that you might have grown up in, maybe there's some fear when it comes to even approaching God. Because you feel like I'm never going to be good enough or have it all together enough. And so maybe even walking in here today, it brought up some sort of fear. We can all have different reactions to this. Here's another reaction to the resurrection. Write this one down. Thomas, and he was skeptical. Thomas was one of the original 12 disciples. So think about that. Here is a guy who had witnessed with his own eyes Jesus perform numerous miracles. He had heard with his own ears Jesus say, on the third day, I am going to rise again. Like he had heard Jesus talk about the resurrection. Yet when he heard about it, that when somebody came and said, hey, Jesus is indeed alive, Thomas was the one that said, I'm not buying it. Unless I see it with my own eyes, unless I touch his scars where I saw the nails go into his hands and his feet, I am not going to believe. And maybe you're a lot like Thomas. Maybe you're kind of a natural skeptic and a doubter. And if you are, here's what I want to tell you, you're in a great place. All doubters and skeptics are welcome here. Our community, our church is a place where you can belong before you believe. We don't make anybody believe anything around here, but we are a group of people committed to helping other people have a life-changing personal encounter with Jesus. That you would see all of God's love for you expressed through his son Jesus and what he did. Like that's what we're about. And so if you're here and you would just go, man, I'm super skeptical, like this whole thing, here would be my invitation to you. My invitation would be, don't just dismiss the claims of Christ if you've never actually investigated them for yourself. Don't just go, it's gotta be some myth. Because this story has been going for 2,000 years, and the Jesus movement didn't die with its leader. The Jesus movement was actually launched because of the resurrection. Throughout history, there have been numerous people that claim to be God. Some of them even generated thousands of followers that believed what they were selling, that they have the secret to get to God or the secret to change the world. But with every one of those movements, they eventually died when their leader died. Everybody kind of hung their head and just kind of went home sad, like most people after Charger games. The same kind of, still too soon for that one. It's a little close to home. But what makes Christianity different is that the Jesus movement didn't die with its leader because we have a resurrected Savior. And even under intense persecution to the point of death, Jesus followers wouldn't deny a resurrected Savior. Because they were like, I know you want me to say he's not alive, but I saw him. He talked to me. Thomas would have said, I touched his scars. Because you know what's amazing? When Jesus did show up to Thomas in his skepticism and his doubt, you know what Jesus didn't do? He didn't shame him. Jesus didn't belittle him. Jesus didn't say, oh, Thomas, always the last one to get on board. He didn't do any of those things. Jesus invited him. And he said, Thomas, it is me. Come and see. It's me. Come touch the scars. And in your doubt and in your skepticism, Jesus doesn't shame you. He invites you to come and see. And so I would invite you to do the intellectual work, to ask the tough questions. And everybody look at the bottom of your outline. If you have the paper, flip it over. If you're on the app, scroll down. I recommended some great books that I've read in my own journey of faith. And they've helped me wrestle with some of those big questions about, man, do I really believe this and why? Like is there actual proof that this happened? And so if that's where you are, here's what don't just dismiss it. I challenge you to at least do the intellectual work to wrestle with those questions yourself. And those resources will help you to do that. Another reaction to the resurrection was these two men from Emmaus, and they were confused. Write that down. They were confused. There were these two guys, they were Jesus followers, and they were making the 7-mile walk from Jerusalem to this little village of Emmaus. And they had been in Jerusalem when all the craziness and Jesus was arrested and beaten and tortured on the cross and died. And their hopes had kind of died with Jesus because they thought Jesus was the Messiah. And so they were walking back on that third day, on the very first resurrection day. And they were pretty sad. And so it was just the two of them on this lonely road when all of a sudden, you got to read this story on your own. It's awesome. That all of a sudden a third person just boom appeared next to him. Hey, how you guys doing? You can imagine that freaked you out a little bit. And the third person that appeared, you know who it was? It was Jesus. Except they couldn't recognize him. He was the resurrected Christ. And they didn't know that it was Jesus. And so they're walking along and all of a sudden he's there. And he says, well, hey, what are you guys talking about? And they look at him like he's crazy. And here's what they say. They say, you must be the only person in all of Jerusalem that doesn't know what happened here the last 3 days. And then this is hilarious to me. The Bible, read between the lines, it's so funny. Here's what's really funny about this. They begin to tell Jesus about Jesus. Do you get the irony there? And so he's like, well, tell me what? No, I don't know what happened. Tell me. And then they're like, well, there was this guy, Jesus. And they went through the whole story. And you can just imagine how much fun Jesus was having with this. He's like, oh. And then they're like, well, he did miracles. Well, what kind? Did you see these miracles? Like, I mean, so he's just like letting them tell the whole story. But then at the end, they're confused because they're like, we thought he was the Messiah, but now he's dead. And then Jesus, in fact, goes, well, let me tell you why all those things had to happen this way. And he goes all the way back to the story of Moses and works his way through the entire Old Testament going, here's what that Jesus fulfilled in all of these prophecies. And they were just confused with the whole thing. And so maybe you're here today and that would characterize you, that you would say you even believe in God, but you've never really, you know, wrestled the resurrection or even really figured out, like, why is the resurrection such a big deal? Like, you believe in God, but maybe that one's a little hard for you. Well, you know what happened to those two guys that Jesus was walking with who didn't know it was Jesus? They come around the corner and see a Lolita's right there. And not a Lolita's, but they were like, hey, are you hungry? Let's get something to eat. And so they go get something to eat. And they're like, well, why don't you come with us, Jesus? It's getting late. And, well, not Jesus. They don't know it's Jesus yet. And so he says, oh, yeah, sure. And so they sit down to have a meal. And it says that Jesus took the bread, he blessed it and broke it. And as soon as they ate it, you know what happened? You're going to have to read it for yourself this week. Okay. I'm just kidding. I'll tell you. Here's what happened. The moment they ate the bread, their eyes were open and they were like, oh my gosh, we've been talking to Jesus the whole time. And then you know what happened? Poof, he vanished. He did. And that's kind of where the story ends. I wish they would have left in, like one of my things I would love to know, what did those guys say after Jesus left? Like, can you imagine the conversation? They're like, dude, we were talking to Jesus about Jesus. How crazy is that? I mean, but they had this moment where their confusion turned to clarity. And if you're here today and this resurrection thing kind of confuses you, my prayer is that we would all have a moment like those men from Emmaus, that you would walk out of here today seeing Jesus clearly and knowing the great hope that we have because of his resurrection. Two more real quick. Another one. The next reaction is Peter and John. They were excited. They were original disciples. When they heard that Jesus was risen, they ran from the house to the tomb. They couldn't wait to see the Jesus that they had saw die be alive again. And maybe you're here today and you're a Jesus follower. You're filled with faith and hope in a resurrected Christ and what that means in your life now and the confidence we can have when this life on this earth is over. And then here's the last reaction to the resurrection. Mary Magdalene, she was grateful. She was grateful. Think back to our very first reaction, the Roman soldiers. So when you read the story, here's what's going on. Mary, the two Marys, Mary Magdalene and another Mary, they were on their way to visit the tomb when the earthquake happened. And so they roll up on the scene right after the Roman soldiers. So they get there and it looks like the Roman soldiers are dead. And, you know, the tomb's open and there is an angel just sitting on top of the stone. And you can imagine, they're a little freaked out. Like, where's Jesus? Did somebody steal his body? Like, where is he at? And I love what the angel says to them. The angel looks at those two women and says, why are you looking for him here? Don't you remember he said this would happen? He's not here. He's alive. So go and tell the others. And so with excitement, they begin to run back to tell the other Jesus followers. And before they get there, guess who meets them on the path? Jesus himself, the resurrected Christ. And it says that they were overwhelmed with gratitude and literally fell to their knees and worshiped Jesus. There was this incredible gratefulness for a resurrected Christ. And you want to know why Mary Magdalene was so grateful? You got to know her past to understand this moment. This is not in your notes, but if you want to do a cool little study, read on your own Luke chapter 8 in Scripture, because that's the first place Mary Magdalene is introduced to us in Scripture. She was a deeply disturbed, broken woman until she met Jesus in Luke chapter 8. And what you find out in Luke chapter 8 is that Jesus healed her and her life was forever changed. And she became a Jesus follower after that. And it's amazing that she is the first person to see a resurrected Christ. This is really significant because in first century culture and world, women were viewed as less than. And the first person Jesus reveals himself to are these two women, Mary Magdalene and Mary. And their response was that they were overwhelmed with gratitude. In fact, Mary Magdalene was really the first preacher of the gospel because Jesus said, "Get up and go tell the others that I am alive." She was the first one to proclaim the good news that Jesus is alive and death has been defeated. And so however you are feeling about the resurrection today, scared, skeptical, confused, or excited, I want you to understand why this is such a big deal, why a resurrected Christ is really kind of the fulcrum, the centerpiece of the Christian faith, and how it can make a difference for you. In the book of Revelation, Jesus appears to John, reveals himself to John one more time, and look at what he says, Revelation 1, 17 through 18. The first thing Jesus said, "Don't be afraid," which by the way, everybody look right here. Anytime someone from heaven comes back to earth and reveals themselves, you know what the first thing they always say is? Don't be afraid. Why? Because everyone has already peed themselves. That's why. It's what you will do if Jesus shows up in your room tonight. The first thing he'll have to say is, "Oh, sorry, don't be afraid. It's me, Jesus," okay? And that's what, I mean, I'm serious. Every time you read an angel or Jesus appears to somebody, the first thing they say is, "Don't be afraid," because they've all freaked out, as would you and I. In fact, you know what? Let's read this together. Revelation 1, 17 through 18. Here's what Jesus said. Ready, begin. "Don't be afraid. I'm the first and the last, the living one. I was dead, but now I'm alive forever. I have the keys of death and hell." You see, what Jesus was saying is that he's conquered the grave. And as I get older and I've watched myself age and I watch my kids growing up and I've watched, you know, a generation of my grandparents and my family, none of our grandparents are alive anymore. And so as I've watched that generation die and I've watched my parents and my aunts and uncles age, as I've watched Pastor Mike gray over these years, as I've witnessed this, here's what getting older reminds me of. You want to know what the real enemy of all of our life is? Death. That's something we all have in common. Every one of us want to avoid death if at all possible. No matter our age, our culture, our background, our beliefs, we all want to avoid death. This is why now in cars we have seat belts and airbags. This is why you make your kids wear a bike helmet now. This is why people eat kale and drink wheatgrass. Because there's only one reason you would eat or drink those terrible things. Because you want to try to prolong your life. And with all the best efforts we have to live longer, something we all know that we never like to talk about is a day is coming where our life in this body will cease. But you know what Jesus' promise is? That we don't have to be afraid. Why? Because he's defeated death. We can have hope even in the face of eventual physical death because when we believe in Jesus, he promises us both new life now and new life to come. Here's our bottom line. Write this down. Here's what I hope you remember today. Because of Jesus' resurrection, I can move from death to life. Because of Jesus' resurrection, I can move from death to life. Did you know you are a spiritual being created by God, for God, to live with God forever? That's who you are. That's who I am. That's who every human being is. And so if you've ever been to a funeral or you've ever experienced the death of a loved one and something in you felt like this is not how it should be, it's because it's not how it should be. You're a spiritual being. That when this body wears out, and it will, and it is, that you will continue to live. We are a spiritual being. And it is because of the resurrected Christ, the one who has defeated death, that it makes us possible to live with God forever. You see, when we trust Jesus, we instantly move from death to life. We've moved from darkness to light, from an outsider of God's kingdom to a son and a daughter of God. This is what God does. This is his specialty, bringing dead things back to life. I want to share with you Donovan's story. And I want you to listen and watch in his story the spiritual steps that he has taken in his life. And how even in the midst of the brokenness and the hurt and the physical death that happens in this broken world, that Jesus still gives us new life. And he can even bring life out of dead things and dead situations. Here's Donovan's story.
Yeah, from the day I was born, I never knew my dad. Grew up with my mom and my grandma. I grew up surfing. I grew up, you know, racing BMX bikes. But I always felt that something was missing still. I remember just being jealous of friends, seeing the relationship they had with their father and knowing I never had that. I never even got a card from him. Never got a call, a happy birthday. Caused a lot of anger and a lot of hurt. As I was going through college, I remember one day checking email and seeing an ad on the bottom about finding lost family. So as I look up his name, I remember picking up the phone and dialing it. And when he didn't answer, I decided I'll call back. And yet every phone call, my anger just grew more and more. I decided he was never there. He never will be there. It was just a dead subject. As I was going through college, I met my beautiful wife, Vivian, and we started dating. Around end of 2004, we were fighting a lot, and she got a flyer in the mail for East Lake Church. And I remember sitting down with Vivian and her mom, and then the service was about sex and how awkward that was. We started coming more and more, and we started making it something that we had to do together. We also decided, let's join a growth group. Having people that we could talk to about problems we have and to lean on each other, to cry with each other, to laugh with each other, to celebrate with each other. And we learned how important that was to us. Talking with Pastor Luke, we decided we wanted to be baptized. It was time to take that next step. I remember just being so nervous knowing how big this is. This isn't just something you do, this is something that changes your life. A couple months later, we got married and realizing how great life really is. May 13th, 2014, a friend of mine found my mom and told me that she had passed away. My family was gone. That's it, I'm all by myself. It was hard. A friend comes, and then asked about my dad. I told him how I had reached out to him and he still didn't get back to me. And he goes, how do you know he got that phone call? I remember driving home that night and just hearing, you don't know. 2 days later, I'm playing music at church and I remember James gets up and his whole message is about reaching out to family, being the one to send them a picture of their grandkid that they've never met. And I'm like, okay, James, you're talking to me. I hear you loud and clear. So I remember giving this feeling, the Holy Spirit pushing me to call. And I remember just like, yeah, whatever, and putting in my phone and calling, expecting to hear the phone ring over and over. And somebody answered. I remember just starting off with, hi, my name is Donovan. And from that point, we had a 45-minute conversation, probably one of the weirdest phone calls that I've ever been part of. And I remember just knowing that God is telling me, it's time. It's time to let go. It's time to forgive. It's time to heal. And I remember towards the end, he finally agreed to meet me for lunch. Got to meet his grandson and his son all at once, and we're building this great relationship. It's been a year of first. It's our first Christmas together. It was our first birthdays together. I had to take the step. I had to listen. We've all felt that nudge of God pushing you to take those steps. And I felt it when I decided to make Jesus the center point of my life. I felt it when I got baptized. And I definitely felt it with my dad. I've seen firsthand how God could take this messy, broken, dead situation and turn it into life.
Where do you need some hope for new life today? You see, a resurrected Savior doesn't just give us hope for new life to come, but new life now. Could you believe that a resurrected Savior could help you overcome your past, set you free from an addiction, release a hurt, give you some new hope, some new joy, some new peace? That's what's available in this life with Jesus. Not just new life to come, but new life now. And I want to give you an opportunity to say yes to Jesus if you're here and you have that want to. If you have a want to in your heart to open your life to Christ, to begin to follow him, that want to is called faith. And you don't have to have it all figured out. None of us do. But if there's that want to in your heart to respond to Jesus and let him in and begin to follow, I want to help create a moment where you never forget that that was the day. Today is the day that you said yes to Jesus and you began this journey with him and you let his resurrected life give you new life. And so I want to give you a chance to make that decision. So I'm going to ask everybody, all of our auditoriums, parent viewing rooms, patios, would you just close your eyes for a moment? And if you're here today and you would say, James, that's me. I want to open my heart to Christ. I don't have it all figured out, but I want to say yes to Jesus. I want to include you in a closing prayer. And if you're here and that's you, would you just raise your hand? All over all of our auditoriums, parent viewing rooms, you would say, you know what, I have that want to in my heart. I want to begin to follow Jesus. That's awesome. Hands all over the place. Awesome. Let me pray for you. God, I pray for our friends that are saying yes to you. I pray, God, that you would show up big in their life, that they would sense your presence, that they would know that they are forgiven and that your grace is more than enough for them. And Lord, I ask that today we would all walk out of here confident in the new life that's available to us through Jesus. And so God, we celebrate you, we give you all the glory, and we thank you for these that are saying yes to you, and we pray it in Jesus' name, amen.